Please turn with me in your Bibles to the Gospel according to Mark, in chapter 8. The Gospel according to Mark, chapter 8, verses 23 and 24. Mark chapter 8, verses 23 and 24. And he took the blind man by the hand and led him out of the town. And when he had spit on his eyes and put his hands upon him, he asked him if he saw aught. And he looked up and said, I see men as trees walking. And our subject this morning is the partially sighted believer. The partially sighted believer. Now we come to consider this healing miracle of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I think we all know that when the Lord Jesus Christ was on earth in his earthly ministry, he performed many miracles, many healings, and many glorious healings, many undisputed healings, I remind you, not like the healings that you see on Christian TV that are a bit suspicious, that are a bit dubious and a bit staged. The Lord Jesus Christ's miracles and healings were not like that. They were undisputed, genuine, sincere miracles and healings. And the healings, well, just briefly to remind you, what were the purpose of the healings? Well, there were many purposes and things we could say, but the healings really, they pointed to who the Lord Jesus Christ was. Who is the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, the miracles tell us so much about who the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, they tell us very simply that he wasn't just a man. That's the most basic thing you can understand. If the Lord Jesus Christ is performing miracles and healings, he's not just an ordinary man. He was a man, yes. He was flesh and blood like us. We know that. But he wasn't simply a man. That wasn't all he was. He was God and man. Fully God and fully man. That is who the Lord Jesus Christ was. Look at these miracles. A simple man can't do them. This must be God. This must be God with us. This, by the way, of course, we know this, was how the Lord Jesus Christ was prophesied in the Old Testament. When the Lord Jesus Christ comes, his title will be Emmanuel, God with us. That's what the name Emmanuel means in the Hebrew. Well, actually, it's the other way around. Literally in the Hebrew, it's with us. Emmanuel is with us. And El at the end, that's God. So literally in the Hebrew, it's with us, God. But in the English, well, of course, we always say God with us. But this is what the healings were meant to show. This is not an ordinary man to do all these healings. This must be God with us. And well, again, this particular healing we can say is mentioned in prophecy. When the Lord Jesus Christ comes, when the Messiah comes, Isaiah would say, well, then the eyes of the blind shall be opened and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Isaiah was saying, when you see these things happening, you will know that this is the promised Messiah. And so when the people saw these things happening, they should have known that this is the one whom Isaiah spoke of. So this is what the miracles mean, what the healings mean, and many other things as well we could go into. But these are glorious healings, and this is a glorious healing. But this healing, this particular healing, as we shall see, this miracle, well, this one in a sense stands out. It is in a sense exceptional. So many times in the gospel, the Lord Jesus Christ healed people in an instant. He healed people with a single touch. He would just touch a person and they would be healed, even of the vilest diseases. Or somebody would touch him and they would be healed fully in an instant. Sometimes, of course, he didn't have to touch anybody. He just had to say the word and they would be healed. That was his almighty power. But this miracle, well, this is not an instant healing. This is a healing, as we shall see, that comes about in stages. And while we look just very briefly at what is written here in verse 22, "And he, the Lord Jesus Christ, cometh to Bethsaida, and they bring a blind man unto him, and besought him to touch him, so that he may be healed." But verse 23, "He took the blind man by the hand, and led him out of the town." Well, this in and of itself is unusual. He led him out of the town, perhaps to a place where it was just him and the blind man. Perhaps it was just the two of them, away from the crowd. And then the next bit is very mysterious. "And when he had spit on his eyes and put his hands upon him, he asked him if he saw aught." Now, so many people ask the question, why did the Lord Jesus Christ spit on his eyes? Well, I can't give you a good reason why. It's not explained here. We don't know, we don't understand why the Lord Jesus Christ spat on his eyes in this respect. But we do know that that was the way the Lord Jesus Christ chose to heal this person. This was the way he chose. There are many things in the Christian life we don't understand about how God deals with us, about why God allows this and why God doesn't allow that. There are so many things we don't understand, but we trust it's for our good. We trust it's for our good. The blind man didn't understand why the Lord was going to spit in his eyes, but he knew it was for his good, for his healing. So you don't have to understand every single thing that the Lord Jesus Christ does, but we know that by this he was healed. So we can make that application, if nothing else. "So he spit on his eyes and put his hands upon him, and he asked him if he saw aught." Do you see anything? And verse 24, look at what the blind man says. "He looked up and said, I see men as trees walking." Now again, so many people ask, what does that mean? And many people try and spiritualize these things and add great meaning. But again, we don't really know what this means. "I see men as trees walking." The only sure thing we can say is that this blind man, well, he could see, but he couldn't see clearly. His vision is distorted. It's only a partial sight. He can see something. He's getting healed, but he obviously cannot see clearly. It's distorted. And so therefore, the Lord puts his hands upon him again, verse 25. "After that, he put his hands again upon his eyes and made him look up, and he was restored and saw every man clearly." Then at the very end, the Lord Jesus Christ heals him. But I just want to apply this miracle again. As I've mentioned, we could mention many things about this miracle, but I want to keep it very simple. This is not an instant miracle. This is a miracle over stages. It's a gradual healing. And the application that we can make very simply is this is the way that so many Christians come to faith. By gradual means. Not instantly. Some people have the wrong idea about Christian conversion. Some people think, well, if you come into a church and you hear the gospel, well, then God will heal you instantly. You'll instantly be saved. Some people think that. Some people base their whole ministry around this. Some people have an altar call at the end of services. At the end of a service, after the preaching, they ask people to come forward. If you have been moved by the preaching, come forward and profess your faith. As if this is how it works. You just hear the gospel once, and then we're entirely saved, and we can continue the Christian life. I'm not saying it never happens. I'm sure it does to some people. But generally speaking, when we are saved, it's a gradual thing. It's very rare. I've read many testimonies of people, many testimonies of Christians down through the years, and I personally have never read a testimony when somebody said, I came into the house of God, I heard the gospel, and then I was saved immediately. I've never read that. Normally, more often, it's a gradual thing. You start to see things slowly but surely. Perhaps there are people here in that state. Slowly but surely, you're starting to understand. Slowly but surely, you're starting to draw near to God. Well, that's good. Don't be frustrated. That's the way the Lord normally works. He's bringing you to an understanding of the Lord. Slowly but surely. So I want to encourage you, if you're in that stage, keep going. You're halfway there. But this is what we can apply from this miracle. You can see things, but you can't see everything clearly. So many people are like this in the early days. They come to the services, some things they can understand very clearly, but some things they don't. They don't understand them clearly. You're in the middle stage like this man. You look up and you see men as trees walking. You can see some things, but you can't see things clearly. And well, sometimes, yes, it's a good thing that we grow gradually. But you know, sometimes when we have this middle stage, this partial view, it's not a good thing. It's not a good thing. Because I am sure that there are people who attend church for very many years. People who come to church for 20 years, 30 years. They come every week. They sit in the pews on the seats. They listen to the preaching. And yet they never get beyond this stage. They never get beyond the partial view of the Christian faith. They never see things clearly. Yes, they understand some things, but they don't have a full view of Christ. Are you like that? Are there people perhaps who have been to a church many years, but you don't really get it? You don't really understand. Yes, some things you do, but not everything. You're still stuck in this middle stage. You need the Lord to do a work in you. And let me just give you some examples of what I mean. And you can apply it to your case as appropriate. But we must be careful that we don't remain in that middle stage, seeing things but not seeing things clearly. For example, perhaps there are some people, well, you hear the word of God, you think it's a good thing. You don't reject the word of God like people in the outside world. You don't hate it. You come and you hear it, and you can see the beauty of the word of God. You can hear the beauty of the gospel. This is a wonderful religion, Christianity. It's a glorious religion. But perhaps you can't see the difference between the Christian faith and all the other faiths. Perhaps you can't see that. Yes, Christianity is wonderful, but really it's just like all the other religions. So many other religions, you can take your pick, whatever suits you. You can't see the difference between Christianity and all the other faiths. It's like, one illustration I can give. I'm sure some of you won't remember this, but in the daily newspapers, they used to have a games page, and one of the games they used to have quite regularly was Spot the Difference. They would have two pictures side by side, and they look entirely the same, but there was one difference, and you have to try and look for it. Sometimes you could never find it. And perhaps you're like that. There are all these religions, and you can't see the difference between Christianity and the other faiths. But there is a great difference, dear friends. Christianity, it's the only faith that makes you right with God. And I was trying to explain this to some of our youngsters on the Friday meeting. This is why we go out and we evangelize and we speak to people even from other faiths and other religions. We don't just speak to people with no religion. We speak to people who have a religion and urge them to come to Christ. Because this is the only way that you can be saved. Yes, the other religions. Yes, they may have beautiful things. Yes, there may be truth in them. But the only way to be right with God is through the Christian faith. The only way to be right with God, to be accepted by God, is through the Christian faith, because of Christ, because of what he has done. No man cometh to the Father but by me. That's what the Lord Jesus Christ said. The only way you can be made right with God and enter into heaven and be with God the Father forever, it's through me. Yes, there are other religions, but they can't get you there. It's only through Christ. Do you see that? Maybe there are some people, they don't see it. But that's what it is to have true vision. You see the difference. You see that Christ is the only way to God. But how? How does Christianity work? Some people don't have the right view of these things. They have a distorted vision. Some people know, they understand that Christianity, well, there is a moral aspect to it. God is holy. God is pure, is clean. We all know that. We've all read the Ten Commandments, how we are to live. And then some people think to themselves, oh, well, that's what the Christian faith is. We just live good, clean lives. That's all it is. You just be a good person. You be kind to people. You come to church. That's all it is. That's all I see the Christian faith as. But that's a very distorted view. That's very distorted. You're not seeing clearly. Yes, we are called to be good people. But you know your good works cannot make you right with God. They cannot, no matter how good you are. Remember we spoke last week of how one sin disqualifies you from entering into heaven. Just one sin. Doesn't matter if you're a good person in every other respect. You could be a doctor, a nurse. You could be a charity worker. But if you've committed one sin, well, then you're out of heaven. God is so holy, he cannot even tolerate one sin. So the only way to enter in is through Christ, through his righteousness, through what he has done. Do you see that? Do you see that clearly? It's not what I do that gets me to heaven, because I can never be good enough. I see that it's what Christ has done. He lived a perfect life of righteousness. And he has given that righteousness to me so that I may go to heaven. I don't trust in myself. I see that I have to trust in Christ and Christ alone. Do you see that? Or do you still think it's just being a good person? That's what a Christian is. That will never get you there. That's a partially sighted believer. See clearly, dear friends, we can only get to heaven through Christ and through his righteousness, through his life, and of course, through his death. Do you see the death of Christ correctly? I know all of you in this place, you know full well that Christ died. You know that he died on a cross outside Jerusalem over 2,000 years ago. You all know this. But some people, they don't see how that applies to them. What has that got to do with me? Yes, I know and understand that Christ died, but I live 2,000 years later. I live in a part of the world where the Lord Jesus didn't preach, he didn't know about. I live in the 21st century, in the modern world. What has his death got to do with me? You don't seem to see that. And dear friends, that's such a tragedy. Without that sight, you have nothing at all. You have to see that when the Lord Jesus Christ died on the cross, it was for your sin. Yes, your sin that you have committed even today. Think of the past few days. Think of the past week, the sins that you have committed, the thoughts that you've had. When the Lord Jesus Christ died on the cross, he took the punishment for those sins. He died for me. That's what it is to see Christ clearly. If you don't understand that, you don't have anything. You're just a partially sighted believer. You don't have full sight. And that is a terrible thing to be, dear friends. You know, you have to ask Christ for that sight. It's only God who can give you that sight. I can't give you that sight. I can preach to you as clearly as I can, but I can't actually give you that sight. This blind man, he couldn't give himself sight. He had to come to Christ, and Christ healed him. If you want that sight that saves your soul, you have to come to the Lord Jesus Christ. You have to ask him. He's the only one who can give you that sight. We just sung in our third hymn, I just pick it up, just very briefly. Those words that we sung, give me a sight, O Saviour. Give me a sight of thy wondrous love to me, of the love that brought thee down to earth to die on Calvary. Oh, make me understand it. Help me to take it in, what it meant to thee, the Holy One, to bear away my sin. You don't understand it. You have to come to Christ. Give me that sight, O Saviour. Help me to see, not just partially, but help me to see fully what thou hast done for my soul. That's the only way, dear friends. Without it, our religion is worthless. Without it, you cannot be saved. So, dear friends, these are the lessons we can learn from this tremendous miracle. He looked up and said, I see men as trees walking. And verse 25, after that he put his hands again upon his eyes and made him look up, and he was restored and saw every man clearly. Well, dear friends, you must receive the full healing. If you went to the opticians and you had your sight tested and they said that you needed glasses, well, how would you feel? If they said, well, we're going to give you your glasses, but you're only going to be able to see half of what you ought to see. We're only going to give you half strength glasses. Would you be happy with that? Oh, yes, I'll just take the half strength and go out. No, of course you wouldn't. If you went to the doctor, you had an illness, and the doctor said, well, yes, we're going to heal you, but we're only going to half heal you. We won't heal you all the way. We'll just half heal you. Would you be happy with that? Of course you wouldn't. But some people are happy with spiritual half-heartedness. You can only half see Christ. You can only half see the gospel. You don't fully see it. You don't fully apply it to your life. Why would you be satisfied in spiritual things? Pray to God, help me to see everything fully, so that I know with great certainty that I am saved. It must be so terrible, so tragic, for people to come week after week and not know, not have that assurance that they are truly saved. It is a truly worthless thing. Imagine if the Lord Jesus Christ had just left this man seeing men as trees walking. He just left him like that and gone away. What a terrible thing that would be. How cruel that would have been to that man. So, dear friends, I exhort you, don't be half-hearted. Don't see only partially. Ask the Lord for that full, clear sight, and he will give it to you. And you will truly be saved. These things are so important. After that, he put his hands again upon his eyes and made him look up, and he was restored and saw every man clearly. May the Lord give us true sight, each and every one of us. Let's pray together. Dear Lord, our God and our gracious Heavenly Father, O Lord, how we thank thee for thy word. How we thank thee that we are able to be healed by Christ even now, that the death of Christ heals us and takes away the punishment for our sin, that we may enter into heaven. Help us, O dear Lord. Give us that sight, O Saviour. Help us to understand. Help us to take it in, what it meant to thee, the Holy One, to bear away our sin. Help us to have that assurance that we are truly saved. Help us to love thee with all our hearts. O Lord, forgive us and draw us very near to thyself. We ask it all in our Saviour's name and for his sake. Amen. Amen.